I'm beginning to realise that I'm a bit pedantic about the Word of God. Some of our modern translations are so modern that you lose entirely what they were saying, and though the argument will be raised that there are mistakes in the King James Version, I absolutely agree with that. But the mistakes that are there are well known, and there are only about half a dozen of them. What they don't do is water down what the Word is saying. And what I'm discovering is that these translations that are easy read are brilliant because they give you an overall idea of what is being said. But if you like, they take the sting out of the tail of what God is saying. So that we no longer really have to submit to him or undergo his discipline. Everything is ours and it will come to us automatically because we're so loved and all the syrup is poured over. Something that Joyce shared with me last night absolutely had me guffawing, if I may use that expression. She was quoting from A.W. Tozer, who had spoken about one of these looser translations and described it as being like trying to have a shave with a banana. And I thought, that was just so apt. If we go to a translation that pleases and tickles our ears, so much that all it does is lulls us into a sense of false security, the enemy is really, really happy. And it's little things, little words where it's changed, that changes the whole emphasis of things. I just picked up one today, and it was this. In John, the Gospel of John, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. I thought to myself, that's not what it says. So I flew to my King James. And it actually says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, you are automatically a child of God the moment you believe. It didn't give you the power to become a child when you believed. You were automatically brought into the family by the blood of Jesus. Blood born, blood bought. But to become a son requires the power of God working within you with your cooperation. And here's the nub of it. Now we discover there are two wills at work, yours and his. And any will that is set away from God is a will that is still protecting itself because it does not convince that God is good and has good plans for them. So you can see how just a little change of emphasis can completely change the meaning of what God is actually saying. Just one little verse, one little word. Child, son. So when we look at what John is actually saying, he's saying that once you're born again, there is the opportunity to grow from a child into a fully mature son. And we actually see John talking about this again in his first epistle, where he says in 1 John 2, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He's talking here about ages and stages of growth. Children, young men, and mature sons or fathers. So God is obviously expecting a growth process to take place. And the way that we grow is not by taking in pap. We grow by taking in the pure word of God and submitting to the discipline of the word of God. Someone once said on a campus in America that the only really happy people were the musicians and the athletes. And asked why this was, the reply was because they are so happy to be disciplined for what they enjoy doing. The rest of the people submitted to the lectures, submitted to the teachers, submitted to the professors. But the ones that really enjoyed what they were doing, the musicians and the athletes, submitted to it because they wanted to go somewhere in their chosen field. And they knew that practice, practice, practice was the way. You don't just get there on a magic carpet. It's practice, practice, practice. And God doesn't measure time. He measures growth. So what we're looking at here is, are you a child? A nepios, a child, or a technon, a small child? Are you a paidon, which is a lad, a young lad, a young boy, 15, 16? Or are you coming into maturity, a huios, a fully mature son? Only you can answer that before God, but you will know it by the disciplines that are in your life. Do you live a disciplined lifestyle? Do you set time aside to be with him, hear from him, wait on him, pray, study? I know you're going to say you have a busy life, but you have 24 hours in the day, exactly the same as everybody else. Is it not the fact that other things are more important? If you really want to run a marathon, for instance, you'll take time out to do practice runs until you get up to however many miles a marathon is, because you're going to run in it. So you're setting aside your free time to go and do that. So what are you setting aside your free time to do rather than growing in God? It's just a question, but a question that we need to answer in these days. Because we have become so soft, any idea of discipline or submission to someone who wants to teach us is met with outright overt rebellion. We're all equal, I'm not submitting to that person. This is true, but God has set hierarchies in place. He sets teachers over pupils. He sets headmasters over teachers. God is a hierarchical God, and you have to sooner or later recognize that that person who is trying to help you may be there to teach you, to move you along, because they have got an assignment from God to assist you to grow to your next level. So your resistance is only keeping you in a baby state. There is a time, beloved, where we need to sit down and look at what our lives are consisting of and recognize that we are a nation of people in the world never before seen. We are like the Jews who have not lost their nationality. No matter where they are still Jews. We are Christians. And no matter where we are still Christians. We are a nation called out, set apart for the purposes of God in this generation, in the same way as the Jews were called out, set apart, a nation for God to show the rest of the nations of the earth what he was like. That is our calling, that's our destiny, to be a light on the hill for people to see what a Christian looks like. But if we never spend any time with our guide, our saviour, our king, our redeemer, if we never spend any time with him, we are not going to look any different from the people around us. We are not going to know his values. We are not going to know how he feels about any particular situation. Could you tell me this morning, for instance, what Jesus' view on capital punishment is? There's a hot potato if ever I saw one. Can you tell me what God says about murder, about manslaughter, about those who are caught red-handed? What does the word say? We have got to be a people with a value system that we can demonstrably show others. We're not shoving it down their throats, but we need to be able to tell them what the word of God is saying. And we're not trying to make them conform to it either, because they are not yet of our nation. Those Christians who wag the finger at homosexuality and lesbianism and all the other things, gender difficulties that are rising themselves, do not have the heart of God. God is not standing there wagging his finger at them. He's standing there loving them in their pitiable state of so searching for love in their empty hearts. That's what he's doing. Beloved, it's time that we got back to the word of God and took the meat from the bone in a stronger version, maybe, than the one we're looking at the moment. It's not about accuracy or arguing about doctrine. It's about our own personal growth before him. Because he doesn't measure time, he measures growth. And the only fertilizer that we have to put our roots down deep is an understanding of the word of God. We've got to get back to the word. And when the word and the spirit come together, we have ignition, we have liftoff, we have dunamos power. So as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. What's your ambition this morning? Is it to become a son? Or are you going to stay in the playpen all your life? Choice is yours. But remember, there are two wills at work here. Yours and his. And if yours is not in alignment with his, you're never going to see the image and nature of Jesus formed in you. You're never going to know how it feels to have his heart move towards someone. And you're never really going to enter the kingdom and become a son if you insist on your own will. But choice is yours. No shame, no blame.